Hi, everyone. This is Andy DeSoto from the Memory Lab at Washington University in St. Louis. And the purpose of this recording is to provide a bit of background for my dissertation work, something that I'm often writing updates and talking about details about on my website, technementis.com, or you might have seen them on andydesoto.com. So here's the background of this research. Over the last couple years, about 3, 4, 5 years or so, we have been interested in the relationship between confidence and accuracy in reports from memory, what we like to think of as the confidence-accuracy correlation. This correlation is valuable to know for a number of reasons, but a clear and straightforward reason is the example of eyewitness testimony. When someone comes up before a court of law and says, for example, I am extremely confident that the person in front of me committed the crime, the judge and the jury need to be able to interpret that rating of confidence, of extreme confidence in this case, and ascertain the degree to which that confidence predicts accuracy of the memory. In other words, is it the case that individuals who are very confident are also very accurate? This is a topic that I've been exploring since I got to graduate school here at WashU, and my early graduate work has resulted in a few papers that maybe I'll make a recording about those later. But for the time being, we've discovered that, in general, there is an overarching strong relationship between confidence and accuracy, such that people who are more confident are also more accurate. But there are certain instances, and this was some of the groundbreaking discoveries we made in the earlier work, there are instances in which the confidence-accuracy correlation is negative or inverted, meaning the more confident an individual is, the less likely he or she is to be accurate. Now, my dissertation research takes off from that in a similar way, and let me tell you a little bit about that. So, our earlier work suggested that there are times when confidence is highly predictive of accuracy, when confidence correlates with high accuracy. But like I just mentioned, there are also cases when confidence can be misleading. In other words, it's difficult for us as rememberers to interpret the value, the predictive value of a subjective feeling of high confidence. When I'm confident, I could be in this one situation where this confidence relates to accuracy, but I could be tricked. I could be highly confident for no reason. So in my dissertation work, I wanted to explore additional mechanisms or additional ways that we as rememberers, individual rememberers, might be able to determine whether they can trust the nature and the strength of their confidence. And indeed, the title of my dissertation proposal, which was defended almost about a year ago now, had in the title, When Can We Trust Our Confidence? Now, the confidence rating is what I like to think of as a quantitative measure or a quantitative report of the nature or the strength of memory. When we record confidence ratings in the laboratory, we have subjects indicate their confidence on a scale from 0 to 100, with 100 being maximum confidence. Now, the innovation that I've introduced in my dissertation work is that I have adopted use of a subjective measure of memory that's not quantitative, but rather is qualitative. And this kind of measure, this type of measure, is what is referred to as the remembered know. When I say know, I mean K-N-O-W, as in do you know it, the remember know procedure in memory. Now let me tell you a little bit about remember know. Here's a stereotypical procedure that might use this remember know procedure in the laboratory. So subjects come into the laboratory and we ask them to learn a list of words, say 50 unrelated words from the English language. We have them study these items. Normally, we give them something else to do for a few minutes so that those items leave their short-term memory, and then we say, okay, now that you study those items, we're going to show you 100 items, 50 of the ones that you studied, and 50 new items that you haven't studied yet, new words that you haven't studied, and we're going to ask you whether you saw the item or not. This is a standard recognition test in memory research. Now, the addition of the remember no procedure means this. When a subject indicates on the recognition test that an item has been previously studied, or as we like to say, it responds old or decides old on the recognition test, the subject then has an additional judgment to make, the remember no judgment. Like the name implies, subjects are asked to respond whether they remember that the item that they just said old to was old, or if they merely know the item was old. And here's the distinction. When subjects respond remember, that should mean that they have the ability to almost mentally travel back in time to the moment of an item's presentation. So, for example, if the word that appears on the screen, most of this is done over the computer, if the word that appears on the screen is cardinal, and I happen to scratch my leg at that specific moment in time, and later on the test I see the word cardinal appear and I'm asked if the item is old or new, I might remember, I might be able to travel back to the moment at which I saw that word and remember that I scratched my knee. And remembering that scratching, even though this is kind of a silly example, remembering that scratching allows me to recollect the fact that I studied the word cardinal earlier in the experiment. So because I'm able to do that, because I have episodic or contextual access to the details of the item's initial presentation, I respond remember as a subject in the experiment. Now, on the other hand, if I see the word cardinal appear on the screen and I don't have access to those episodic or contextual details, I can't engage in that process of mental time travel, reminding me that I studied the word, but at the same time, the word is familiar. And as the name suggests, again, I know, or I'm reasonably sure that the word was presented, even though I don't remember the moment of the item's occurrence, I respond no at that point. Now, it turns out that in my research, and this is something that was promoted by Gardner a while back, I also allow subjects to respond guess. So instead of a remember-no procedure, it's a remember-no-guess procedure. Again, when subjects respond old to an item, they say remember if they remember the moment of an item's occurrence, if they have episodic and contextual detail associated with that item. They respond no if they just remember, if they just know, I should say, that the item was presented, if it strikes them as familiar, perhaps it jumps out of the screen visually or conceptually. And last, if they're really just guessing when they say old, we ask them to respond guess at that point. So, in the most basic version of my experiment, what we have people do is we have them come to the lab, just like I described a little bit earlier, and we have them study 100 items from different categorized lists. We have 10 different semantic categories, like four-legged animals, articles of clothing, birds, vegetables, I think fish may be one. And we present these items category by category, 10 at a time. So subjects study 100 words total. And then we have them engage in a brief distractor task. For about 5 minutes or so, we ask them to do something unrelated to the task. And then after that, we have them come back for a recognition test. Or I should say, we have them turn their attention to the recognition test. And again, just like I described, a randomly selected word will appear, and subjects will be asked to indicate whether the item is old, or studied earlier in the experiment, or new. Now, the important innovation in this work is that we combine both the quantitative judgment of memory, that is, the confidence rating, and the qualitative judgment of memory, specifically the remember-no-guess judgment. So the way this works is subjects respond old or new, and then we ask for their confidence. We say, on a scale from 0 to 100, how certain are you that your earlier response, again, old or new, was correct, and subjects use a graphical slider presented on the screen to indicate their level of confidence. But importantly, after this, and believe it or not, this is not a groundbreaking adaptation, but very few people have combined remember no guess judgments and confidence judgments. Maybe we can talk about that another time. But after we ask for the confidence rating, we then ask subjects to respond remember, no, or guess, assuming that they responded old earlier in the experiment. So let me just repeat that, since I'm not entirely sure I was clear. On the recognition test, subjects see an item. Then they make an old or new judgment. They make a recognition decision. Then we have them make a confidence rating about their recognition decision on a scale from 0 to 100. And then, if their recognition decision was old, we have them make a remember no guess judgment. Now, here's why we're doing that. By collecting both recognition decisions, confidence ratings, and for decisions of old, remember no guess judgments, what we're able to do is take a look at the relationship between confidence and accuracy as a function of whether the earlier response, or whether the response was a remember, a no, or a guess. To put that a bit differently, I'm interested in the confidence-accuracy relationship as a function of whether the subject is remembering, knowing, or guessing. And I'm able to calculate this confidence-accuracy correlation in a couple of different ways. There's a chapter we've written that I link to that talks about how we calculate these different correlation coefficients. Generally, we use Pearson R or sometimes the Goodman-Kruskal gamma to calculate these relationships. But basically, what we're then able to do is compare these relationships, these confidence-accuracy relationships, again, as a function of whether subjects are remembering, knowing, or guessing. Now, I'm in the midst, or I've just about finished my second experiment right now, and what I can say is that from a preliminary standpoint, it appears that the confidence-accuracy relationship, interestingly, is about equivalent regardless of whether subjects are in the state of remembering or whether they're in the state of guessing. The confidence-accuracy correlationships are the same. Hopefully I'll be able to talk a little bit more about this in the future. But in the meantime, hopefully that's all the background that you need to get a sense of where I'm coming from with the different research updates and the notes that I might post to the blog. And hopefully if you have any further questions about anything I've talked about here, this is my first attempt at making a recording of this nature, so certainly the case that probably haven't been as clear as I should have been in some different places. But if you've got any more questions about that, as well as, of course, anything that I post to my research notes, please leave a comment, tweet me, email me, or any of the above. Thanks for listening.